Greetings, friends, and welcome to the fourth edition of the Rhode Island Builders Association's News and Information Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Eno, and it's July 30th, 2020. Co-hosting with me today is everyone's favorite executive officer, John Marcantonio. Good morning, John.
Morning, Paul.
Our guests are none other than Reba's president, Tim Stasunas of the Stasunas Companies, and Reba's vice president and the nominee for 2020-2021 president, Carol O'Donnell of CRM Modular Home. So let's begin with you, Tim. Briefly, tell us your story and what led you to the presidency of the Rhode Island Builders Association.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you this morning. It really starts back, dating back to the early 80s. I became a member of Rhode Island Builders Association through an affiliation with an old friend of some of ours. I know it was yours, Paul, was Joe Frisella, who was the first individual that got me involved with Rhode Island Builders Association. And initially, as I've said in other interviews and discussions, my first interaction with Reba was really because of health insurance. That kind of got me in the door. And soon after that, Joe, who is certainly no longer with us, as you know, he got me involved with the Rhode Island Builders Environmental Committee, got me on the board, and I've been there ever since. And from sitting as a board member over the years and watching, the progression of Reba, certainly over that course of time, we had, some challenging issues to face. And then at the encouragement of a longtime friend of mine and someone you guys know, Tom D'Angelo, he encouraged me to get involved on the executive level, which I did. I was invited by the past president, Roland Fiore. He asked me to consider being involved on the executive level, and I started off as secretary, and then went to to vice president, and then on to president. Just a couple of years ago.
Okay, Carol, you have been a member for many years, and a long road for you. What's your story?
What's my story? I became a contractor in the late 80s. I developed my business over the years, and then I kind of looked out on the outside to see what I could find, that there were other associations that women were involved with, and there weren't that many 25 years ago. So I reached out to Rhode Island Builders, and I became a member and started to attend some of the different functions and felt that it would be diversity as we move forward. And then became friendly with some different people there. Ed Latitzer kept saying we should move Carol up. John came along, and I put the house in the home show back in 2012. And then from there, I would say I just started volunteering with the association and slowly moving up the ladder.
Okay, thank you. Now, Tim, can you tell us what is the process by which you become president, the ladder, as it's called? If you could briefly explain how that works. I don't think a lot of members are aware of how that works.
So, as a board member, we're essentially, over the years, in order for the executive committee and the officers to kind of keep members active, you're cycled in and out of the board member process. And you're nominated as officer's position by a group of your peers, or come together and nominate you for that position. And eventually, you're elected to that position by virtue of that process and an election of officers at the annual meeting. In my case, I started off as secretary. At the time when I was there, the treasurer's position was somewhat constant. So we would leap over, so to speak, from secretary to vice president, and then the president leaping over that treasurer's position, which from my understanding and from what I value is a continuity in that treasurer's position. I think Carol held that. Carol jumped into that treasurer's position, which was actually always held by one person for quite a number of years to continue that continuity. So Carol kind of broke that rhythm. Was the first person to break that rhythm in quite a few years.
Okay. Tim, you've been president for two terms now, and what are the greatest challenges you faced?
So, in the past 4 months, 5 months, obviously, there's been a big change in how we do things. Initially when I started, our biggest goal or challenge was the education aspect of that. We were trying to grow our outward education for Rhode Island Builders Association. We were somewhat in it, I would call its infancy, just before I started. And that process has grown over the past couple of years. We were through the environmental committee leading us as an association. We were challenged with dealing with Department of Environmental Management. One of the things that we've been working on over the years is wetlands setback issues. And I really had hoped that because we've been working on it so long, I really had hoped that we could kind of clean that up and put that to rest during my time as president. Unfortunately, that has just kind of languished at the DEM, for a multitude of reasons, a lot of different factions, a lot of different issues that go into that wetlands regulation change or proposed change. I honestly think that there was an overreach on the department's proposed changes, and actually this whole COVID thing has actually shed a light on just what we need to do to expand the economy here in Rhode Island. So in one way, it may be a blessing that we had this COVID thing, because that's really going to put people's focus on growing the economy. And one way we grow the economy is not to, essentially limit property owners' rights and create more regulation that would only hinder this industry coming back.
Okay. Carol, coming into as the nominee for president for the next 2 years, what challenges do you see and what hopes do you have as far as accomplishments for your administration?
Well, I would say I would pick up on what Tim just said. I would find that we're going to struggle through the rest of this year, most likely right into next year, coming through COVID, see where we're going with the vaccine, because I think things now with construction are very busy, but we're not sure what the future is going to bring, whether it be with financing opportunities, again, between the zoning boards, the planning boards, how fast are they going to move along, or is this something that's going to hinder us? We're looking at a large budget deficit in the state. Are people going to have higher taxes? So a lot of unknown, but trying to keep REBA current, I would say, with our educational programs now on Zoom with a lot of different avenues. We have our Latino outreach that, as long as we can keep moving forward, educate people that have lost their jobs that are probably going to come into this business, that we can move along with that. And then what I'd like to do is get more women together so that we have a more diversified group of a board, and same thing with Latino. And I'm on that outreach committee now, where we have our education in Central Falls.
Okay. John, our executive officer, has been sitting here very quietly. Did you have any contribution at this point, verbally speaking?
You're insinuating that that's not normally the case, right? No, look, I mean, Tim's done an outstanding job. All the leaders in this organization make it what it is through the years. And Carol coming in, I'll tell you, Carol has, usually, and I transitioned many a president into this role, which was probably my role. When we have our debriefing meetings with Carol, and you recognize that she has participated in almost every level of this organization and almost every committee over the last decade, there really wasn't much to debrief her on going forward. So I think the transition between Tim and Carol should be rather seamless. And of course, the office of president turns into the past president role. And Tim, I know you're going to still be pretty busy there going forward with issues like DEM. And once you become the past president, now you start to play a role in choosing who becomes the future leadership of the organization. So past presidents in Reba actually never leave. And that's part of our business model. And that's for good reason. So we're hoping Tim sticks around.
Okay. So the thrust lately has been, and particularly with COVID, to turn Reba into a really, really focused training and support organization. And this involves, of course, contractor training, development organization. Our last podcast, number 3 from last month, was about that with Luca Toya and Cheryl Boyd. And would anyone like to say more about that thrust and about being a training and support organization and the various factors involved and how that's helping the members despite the COVID situation? Tim, did you want to comment on that? Okay.
Yeah. So first, I wanted to back up 1 second while I have the opportunity. One of the disappointing things for me was, as I've said, COVID could have been a blessing for us in a way, to a certain degree, but also from my perspective, it kind of took the wind out of the sails of the last, 3, 4, 5 months. You know, we were pretty much stopped in our tracks. Legislatively, in all the other ways that Reba helps its members. And we've had to essentially reinvent ourselves over the past 3 or 4 months in how we do business, how with our members, how we interact with our members, how we perform our educational classes and offerings to the general public. So that's been literally a reinvention of Reba. And that said, that could not have been done without the steadfast and hard work of all the staff at Reba, our executive director, John, who has really led the charge in how to reinvent ourselves, which I think is very important because, we're in uncharted territory and uncertain times going forward. You know, we lost our home show this past year, which was kind of a blow to us. And we're really uncertain what's going to happen in the future. By next winter, are we still going to have a home show? If we do, what's that going to look like from a participation perspective? So that was a little bit of a disappointment to me because I think we had a lot more we could have got done, but be it as it may, I think, the Reba, the organization as a whole, really stepped up to the plate. We have a lot of dedicated people like Carol, like John, like the staff, like I can think of Bob Baldwin, Roland Fiore, Dave Caldwell, I hope I didn't leave anybody out, but there's certainly the unity within our organization. Not that we agree on everything, but our unity brings us together to make what I see one of the strongest HBAs in the country, in my opinion. Going forward on the educational stuff, that whole transition of how we do business, I think has made our educational, system even much stronger than it was before, that we can reach out to people that we couldn't reach out to by virtue of folks signing up, physically coming to our classes, which I happen to prefer myself. I like one-on-one, face-to-face contact. I think there's something lost when you have a human non-contact. I think something's lost in that experience. But by virtue of having, classes online, we can reach a much, much broader group of people and hopefully expand that learning opportunity to all Rhode Islanders, no matter which, whether it's the Latino population or not, or the population here down in South County, in Providence, and on the East Bay. There's certainly a whole group of people that we can address and help, you know, lift them up in the educational aspects of our trade.
Okay, John, you had a comment regarding the training and support thrust of the organization now?
Yeah, so we had the board in particular and the leadership of the organization. We've been studying kind of the trends in the industry for the last couple of years. And one of the issues that the board wanted us to go after and do something about was the lack of folks coming into the industry. So, you know, we created a comprehensive training program to, you know, to bring people in under our wing, so to speak, and train them how to be contractors. And so we had that infrastructure in place and it was developing, and then the pandemic hit. And there was a, you know, the first reaction was like, wow, you know, our education programs, which Tim said were in person, had a transition to virtual, and we've done that. But then oddly, what's happened is that a lot of people who were displaced in other industries are now looking for new occupations and new careers. And the Builders Association is actually now set up to work in partnership with the state and help and assist people find a career in our industry. So over the last 3 months, as we track this, those entering our industry is up over 50% from previous years and previous months. And we're right there trying to train them, place them. And it actually is a healthy thing for our industry to have all this interest. So, you know, that's going to be, you know, the next couple of years, especially be our priority. I mean, I was listening on one of the calls the other day with the state, and over 100,000 people in the state of Rhode Island have been displaced, meaning their industry is lost for them as an option. And 47% of that number has only a high school education. So you can think about the role our industry, where you don't necessarily need a college degree, and the easy entry to it, and then, of course, our custom and complementary training could really be a benefit to the overall economy of Rhode Island. Now, of course, if we're allowed to build more things, we'll be allowed to fix some of the housing problems and put a lot of people back to work. So that's always something we want to do in tandem. But yeah, we were well-structured and oddly well-positioned to help with the pandemic. And one other point, as Tim and Carol were saying, it was the strength of our organization, the unity within it, the sheer size of it, and its relationships that allowed us to play a critical role in negotiating the safety protocols for the industry, keeping it open, and now currently the challenge is maintaining inspection and permitting, as well as the planning board and zoning board process. So,
okay. Carol, I was going to ask you about your overall view of not only what we've been talking about as far as the thrust of the organization as training and support, but also your view of the industry as well right now. There's been a lot of talk of people fleeing cities in the wake of COVID and the civil unrest, things of this kind. And you can't help but notice all the New York and New Jersey plates out there in our own state. And there's also a lot of factors having to do with maybe remodeling is going to be strengthened or has been strengthened by people being stuck in their homes and seeing all the crummy paint job or whatever they want to do. All these sorts of things. What's your overall view of the industry right now, the housing needs of our state, and where we're going?
Well, I think we have a high level of housing needs. There are quite a few people that need entry-level homes as well as homes that they can move up into as they progress in their lives. I would say down along the southern communities, which is where I live, there is quite a bit of remodeling being done, actually overall rebuilding being done. And there's quite a few people in this area from out of state that came in as soon as this pandemic hit New York, New Jersey. You see a lot of plates. I find that I myself have a lot of work from people from out of state in those areas. And I would say right now, some of our obstacles are lumber. You know, the lumber shortages that we seem to be having is really trying to, you need to plan out ahead of time and only hope the delivery comes in on time. So as we look at a lot of those remodels as well as new builds, I'd say we have more activity with out of state people. But if out-of-state people come in and they're financially secure compared to some of our people here in the state that need entry-level homes, so I think that's where some of us hopefully can fill in the gap between the higher level and then the lower level people, not lower level, but the entry level people, so that we can hopefully lobby in different financing people that can move up in that in-between house, which I find to be a difficult move for some because there's nothing there. Okay. But I would say that as long as we keep moving together as a group, and that's where maybe our new students, our new people with our career can come, then we can find a place for everybody, maybe a new home, a remodeled home, as well as move up.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have a sum up of everything we've discussed or anything else you'd like to add before we take our congé for the day here? Yes, Tim.
So just briefly, I want to just kind of expand just a little bit on what Carol said. I think this whole circumstance with COVID over the past several months has really presented both challenges and opportunities to us as a state, as a country, and as an industry. And it's my firm belief that the housing industry, the construction industry in general, is going to lead the state and the nation out of this challenging time, this recession as it is. And we need, as an organization, we need to focus on, as Carol said, you know, there's entry-level housing, there's mid-level housing, which there's a shortage of. And we need to have everybody at the top seems to know in the state level that we have a housing issue, you know, for affordability and availability. Somehow, we have to get our leaders on the state level to have that mentality trickle down to the organizations, the departments that actually review and approve the permitting process, because that's where a lot of it's getting lost. You know, the time it takes to get permit approvals and kind of jump through all the hoops. And we need to eliminate layers, and we need our elected officials to take the lead on that, to kind of reorganize, how business is done in the state of Rhode Island. And I think if that's done, if as an industry we can get them on board and get that done, I think we're well poised for a real strong economic comeback in the state of Rhode Island vis-a-vis the construction industry.
Okay. Carol, any final thoughts?
Well, I would say if we move forward with getting all of our, hopefully, how do I want to say this? We move forward with REBA, with our classes. We keep everybody together. We move forward, like Timmy said, legislatively. I think that we will become a stronger association and a stronger state, because I think housing's going to lead the way here.
Very good. John?
Yeah, just to sum things up, Paul, Carol's leadership team comes in October. And for those listening in on this podcast, if they want to get more involved in the Builders Association, it's just a simple call to our office, which is 438-7400. There's numerous committees you can get involved in. We can put you in direct contact with Mrs. O'Donnell, and we can find a path for you within this organization. Both Tim and Carol, if you remember early on in this conversation, talked about it was a friend, it was an inquiry, it was an outreach to the association many years ago that led them in a path that they're on today. So I hope people who are listening now can find a similar path in the Builders Association. And again, it's just a call. That's all it takes to get you more involved.
Very good. And remind all our listeners that we've got, every month, our Rhode Island Builder magazine, which covers all the issues and matters that we discussed as well as and much more. So that's about it for our podcast number 4. Just a clarification, however, in podcast number 3, I announced that by mid-July, apps for this series would be available for iPhone and Android. We've since found out that we have to have at least 5 podcasts posted in order to produce an app. So we'll get that done after our next podcast, and stay tuned for more information on that. In the meantime, the Rhode Island Builders Association, as you can hear, is going strong. For all the information, education, and member resources you need, call 401-438-7400 during business hours, or visit ribuilders.org anytime. REBA is there for you. I'm Paul Eno, here with Executive Officer John Marcantonio, and we will see you next time on Reba's News and Information Podcast.